about it again and again and again. He prepared the disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit before he even ascended. And he prepared them for it. He told them what was to come. They even had a foretaste. Remember when you read in the scriptures and it says that he breathed on them. And it says that they received the Holy Spirit in that moment. They had a taste of what was to come. They knew the Holy Spirit in their lives. And some of us may have just tasted of the Holy Spirit, but I believe today that God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you with his presence. He wants to fill you with his power. He wants to fill you with everything that you need to live this Christian life for him, particularly in these last days that we're living in. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. So I'm going to read a few scriptures. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to come to Acts chapter 2. Start with Acts chapter 1. Read from verse 1. This first account I compose, Acts 1, verse 1. Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also predestined himself alive after his sufferings, by many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things of the kingdom of God. Jesus had risen from the dead, and he had proved to many, not just one or two, but to many, that he was alive, alive in the flesh. He wasn't just a spirit walker, he was alive. He'd risen from the dead, victorious and overcome sin and death. And he went around continuing to preach the kingdom of God. And the message that we have in our lives is the kingdom of God. And as a church, I want to be a kingdom people that we begin to understand what it is to be part of the kingdom of God. Because we live in a culture around us where there's so much going on, and if we're not careful, we get sucked up into this culture around us, and we become a British culture, or we become a Rotherham culture, if you like. But we are a kingdom people, and we need to grasp what it means to have a kingdom culture, and it will be upside down, or the right way up, if you like, from the ways of this world. So when you're in your reading of scriptures, and you're praying, and you're seeking God, ask him, Lord, show me what it is to be a kingdom person, because Jesus went around preaching the kingdom of God. Verse 4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait what the Father had promised, which he said to you, and you've heard from me. He'd already talked about it in John chapter 14 and 16. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized. We saw a baptism last week, the immersion. It wasn't just a sprinkling. We fully made sure that Esther and Hannah went right under the water. They were immersed. And it's the same word, baptizo, which means to be immersed. And you will be immersed. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they come, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is this the time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? Can you see what's happening here? They're thinking about Jesus. Is this the time when you're going to rule and you're going to reign on the earth? Because we've read about in the Old Testament about the promise of the Messiah who's coming to rule and reign in the kingdom on the earth. Is this the time? And he's saying, your mind is in the wrong place. You need to wait. This is the time when the Holy Spirit comes. And he wants to fill you. He wants to pour out his Spirit. I want to pour out my Spirit upon you and empower you. And so often our focus and our perspective can be in the wrong place. And we need to understand as Christians, if we haven't got the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life, then that's where we need to start. And as a Pentecostal church, I want to remind us to come back to that place. Verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs for which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8, you can underline this if you haven't already, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That word power is the word dunamis, which is the word we get a dynamite from, which is an explosion of power. But you will receive dunamis power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the remote parts of the earth. There is the call upon our lives. There is a commission. If you don't know what your purpose is in life, it's all in this verse. That God has called you to be his witness, to witness of Christ, that he's alive. He's alive in power, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he's coming again. And he says, you shall be my witnesses. But to be my witness, you need to receive the power to be witness, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not just a spirit. He is the person of the Holy Spirit. It's just the same as the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 24. Again, when Jesus was about to ascend, he said this. Verse 46, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. How do you know, how many of you know, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. He doesn't break his promises. God cannot break his promises. He cannot. And the promise of what? The Holy Spirit. I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. They had spent 3 years with Jesus, healing people, casting out demons, listening to his teaching, telling people about the good news, telling people about the kingdom of God, telling people about the importance of repentance. And they'd learned for 3 years. You think after 3 years of training with Jesus that they would be able to go, as soon as Jesus ascended, they'd be able to go straight out there and continue the work that Jesus had said. But Jesus said, stop, wait, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. I've been with you, I've walked with you, I've given you that. I've delegated my authority to you. I've told you to go. But now's the time you need to know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I think sometimes as Christians, we get to the place in our life, we receive Christ into our life. And the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit, yes, he comes and dwells in you. You are born again. The sanctification work, that word sanctification means to be cleansed. The cleansing work of God, to be purified. He starts to cleanse you and make you more like God. But we see clearly in Scripture that it doesn't stop there, that God doesn't just want to come into your life, but he wants to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you be overflowing with the power of God in your life to be a witness in this day that we live in. I wonder how many of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit today. You don't have to tell me, that's between you and God. But I want to say it's absolutely imperative. It was imperative for Jesus Christ for us to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if it was imperative for him for us to receive it, then it must be imperative for us too. We must take this seriously in our lives. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be born again. But to live this life, if you want to be effective in this world, then we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. I don't know how I would manage without the Holy Spirit working in my life. When the challenges come, when the temptations come, when the difficulties come, when it comes to when I know how weak and how inadequate I am, that I can lean upon him and his power. When I don't know what to say, but knowing that the Holy Spirit will empower me and give me the words to speak week after week, not just on a Sunday, but throughout the week as well. When you're going to deal with a situation, you don't have the words or the wisdom to deal with, but the power of the Holy Spirit will enable me to speak out and to do what I couldn't do. I need his power in my life. You need his power in your life. God did not call us to be empty vessels. Thank you for that word, Andy. But he's called us to be filled to overflowing. That word in Ephesians says, don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be being filled. Be continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was Moody who said, didn't he? He said that, you know, I need to keep getting filled with the Holy Spirit because I leak. And we need to be continually filled with God to overflowing, that would flow out into other people's lives. When the apostles John and Peter were filled, they went around praying for people, laying their hands on them, and they were baptized, they were saved, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes as Christians, we stop at that place and we just remain in that place where we've been baptized, we're saved, we know Jesus is in our lives, but we're not living in the fullness of the power of God in our lives. That's where God wants you to be. He desires you to be. He calls you to be. It's He's commissioned you to be. He commands us to be filled with His Holy Spirit for you, for your children, for your children's children, and all who are afar off. That's you and I. We're afar off from that day. We're 2,000 years afar off, and God's still baptizing people with the Holy Spirit, with power today. Hallelujah. Between John, I'm going to get to Acts 2 in a minute, just bear with me. Between John chapter 14 and 16. John chapter 14, Jesus begins to teach them about his ascending to the Father. He's not going to leave them as orphans. He's not going to leave them alone. You know, you imagine you'd walk with Jesus for 3 years and you just learn to rely upon him. You become so dependent upon him. And then he says, I'm going. And you think, well, how am I going to carry on? He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. But actually, it's better that I go. It's better for you that I go, because another can come. He's talking about the another, the same as, just the same as Jesus will come. He's not just going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. Jesus came in a human form, and he could only be one place at one time, unless he was transported from some place to the other. But he would only be in one place, but the Holy Spirit can be in all flesh. Hallelujah. It's better for you and I, not just with us, but in us. You know that moment when you wake up in the morning and you just know the joy of the Spirit of God within you? You ever get that place? Or you just want to walk around and dance around the house when nobody else is there, and you just want to just praise God and rejoice because you know God is in you. You're that bubbling up and that joy within you. That's the joy of the Spirit of God within you. And God wants to be in your life. And he says in John, right in the middle of John 14, and it's so important in John 16, he says this, John chapter 15. I just want to read these words because in the night I just kept hearing the Holy Spirit saying this again and again to me. And I feel he wants to say it to us to remind us. For chapter John 15, verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me remains in me, lives in me, if you like. And I in him, you in Christ and Christ in you. He bears much fruit. To be a Christian and bear fruit, we need to remain in God. And then he says these words, from apart from me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. I need to hear those words again in my life, and we need to hear them as a church. As Christians, we need to hear that without him, we can do nothing, yet we will try. We'll put on our strategies, we'll put on our events, we'll do things, we'll work hard, we'll sweat in our brows, we'll do all that we can, we'll work hours after midnight to try and do things for God, yet without him, we can do nothing. And Jesus said to the disciples, wait until you've received the Holy Spirit and you've received and been clothed in power from on high, so that you can live with me in my power and do the things that I have done in my power. And the same power and the same anointing that's upon my life wants to be on your life. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Without him, without Christ, we can do nothing. Right in the middle of chapter 14 and 16, when he's talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Convictor, the Revealer of Truth, he says, without me, you can do nothing without the Spirit of God in our lives. Can you just see this morning how important it is we need the Holy Spirit? Let's not be a church, and I don't think we are at all, that shuts the doors to the Holy Spirit, that we do things that we want to do, the way that we want to do them. That's why I just want to be open to the Holy Spirit in our meetings when we gather together. I think it's just wonderful how people can just share and pray and lay things on their hearts and respond to the Holy Spirit. And we listen to the Holy Spirit. And I believe the more that we step out and what God is saying, the more that God will begin to move in our life and our midst. And some of you, you've been stirred at different times. God will give you pictures. He will show you things. And you're still in that place. I don't know if it's you, God, or not. And you're a bit uncertain. But God wants to encourage you to bring that. If it's an encouraging word, it's to build up the body of Christ. I want to encourage you as a church. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's see this moment, day it all happened. Let me just say to you, we don't necessarily need another Pentecost. Know what we mean when we sing that song. And I can say amen to that. And I will continue to sing that song because we need that another encounter. But Pentecost has already come. The Holy Spirit is here. He didn't come on that day of Pentecost and then went again. He came and he's still with us. He's still with us from that same power, the same Holy Spirit that did the same things and birthed the church in the book of Acts is still doing the same things in us today. He didn't leave and he began to pour out his Spirit in the Jerusalem, and then we see it in Judea, then we see it in Samaria, and we see it throughout to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is moving. God is fulfilling his promises. And you are a vessel today. And some of us, I pray all of us, will be a testimony of a person who's received the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, chapter 2, of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. What were they doing? There was 120 of them. They're meeting together. After Jesus said, wait until you receive power, 120 met together regularly and began to pray and seek God. And, you know, I've often thought about, and you may have thought about this too, you think, well, there was 120. What about the thousands that would come and follow Christ? There was something special about this 120. There were 120 that were just yearning to obey God. They were yearning for more of God. They were yearning for the promise of God to be fulfilled in their midst. They were yearning not to miss out on what God was about to do. I wondered if there were, and Jesus spoke to the crowds around him and others, and they maybe there were people there that said, you know, we need to seek God and gather and pray together. And others said, well, I've got things to do. I'm busy. I've got my family, I've got my commitments, I've got my work, and they just go back to the normal lives. But there were 120 who were faithful to the call and the promise of God. May we be 100, 120, an 80, or whatever it may, a 5, may we be a determined people to pursue after the power of God that would seek Him in everything we do. That's why prayer is so important to me. It's so important to us as a church that we seek Him in prayer and we're still learning to pray because we need God. We need Him in all that we do. And it said they were gathered together in one place. They were gathered together in one place. There was unity. The Bible says it. They were gathered together in one accord, in one mind, with one purpose. They weren't gathered together with all their list of prayer requests. Well, can we pray for this? Could we pray for that? Could we pray? They gathered together. God had said something. He said He's going to do it. We need to pray and seek after the promise. And when they met together, we see in Scripture what they were doing. They were meeting together. They were praying. They were fellowshipping together. And they were praising God. They were meeting. They were praying. They were just seeking God and rejoicing in God. I want to encourage us that when we meet together, let's come with praise in our hearts. Let's come with meeting with Him, with prayer in our hearts, to seek Him, to draw closer together with Him. They came together in unity in heart. The Bible says, a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. You know, I cannot make us all be one together, but I can do my best to be one with you, to be right with you, not to have any grievances with anyone here, to forgive you all, whatever may happen, and to try and do my best just to love you and to live a life that would not offend anybody. Although I know at times the word will offend people. I may say things that may bring an offense to people. I may do things ignorantly or in my naivety to upset people. And I never intend to upset anybody. I'm sure just as many of you here today will not. But we must try our best to be one accord, one purpose, one mind. Keep the unity of the Spirit of God. And they came together in one mind, with one purpose, to seek God. Now I said in that verse, John chapter 15, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. They came. And in their mind, they think, well, Jesus taught us what to do. Maybe they were itching just to get out there and to begin to tell people about Jesus, to tell people He's alive, to tell people that He's ascended. They've just seen Him ascend and He's going to come back again. I know I would be. We've seen Him and He's gone and He's ascended to the Father and He said He's going to come back and the angel said to us He's going to come back in the same way and it's just so exciting what He's doing. I'd be itching. And when I was at Bible college spending 3 years and I loved it just being around Christians and it was difficult, I had challenging times. But you know, I had to get out among non-Christians too and I remember finding myself walking around fishing lakes just talking to people about Jesus. I just wanted to tell someone about God. But there was a time of just seeking and getting God to, and it being equipped in God. And this was a time for them where they just needed to know the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. And they came together in one accord. There was a time where there was a time of emptiness. And I want to say this, before we can be filled, we must recognize our emptiness and need for God. We must recognize our emptiness and need for God. Until we recognize that we need God in our life and that we're empty without Him, then we'll just continue to go and we think, well, I can do it. I've got this. I've got that. I can serve Him with this. I can serve Him with that. I have this knowledge. I have this expertise. I have this provision. I have that. But until we recognize that actually we're empty, we have nothing without Him, that we need Him. And there was that place that these 120, they came. And they recognize, God, if we want to live for you, if we want to do these things for you, then we need to be full of you in our lives. I hope you're getting that hunger in your heart today. And it says, verse 2, and suddenly, and I love that word, suddenly, and suddenly things change. In that sudden moment, that moment where you can be worshiping and praising God, you can be seeking him, then suddenly something happens. In that moment, it's just suddenly everything around you changes. You know that moment where you think, God, should I respond to you? Is everything you're saying true? And you say, I'm going to say yes to Jesus, and you take that step and you respond to him, and then suddenly everything in your life changes. Suddenly you see things differently. Suddenly you don't feel alone anymore. Suddenly your life has changed because God has entered in and you're not the same again. Suddenly you're clean. Suddenly there's a newness in you that you're not, as I said, on your own, because Jesus has caused you to be born again. That sudden moment. Suddenly you're healed. The pain is gone. Suddenly you've been set free. You're not addicted to things anymore. That evil demonic spirit of oppression has left you. Suddenly the joy of the Lord has returned. In that sudden moment, suddenly you have an answer that you've been praying for. You don't know what to do in that difficult situation. And suddenly it's there. Because God has everything you need. It's in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of God, it said, suddenly, as they were praising, as they were worshiping God, suddenly, that fulfillment of promise that Jesus talked about, all of a sudden, the room began to shake. There was a wind sweeping over that room. And there's testimonies over the centuries, even in the last 100 years, of people in their meetings where there's been a gush of mighty wind sweeped over them while they're worshiping and praising God. A sudden moment as God began to move by his Spirit. The Bible talks about the Spirit of God being like a wind. We can't see him, but we see the effects. And the thing about the wind is when you're there in the wind, you look and you can see the trees. You ever tried? You cannot control the wind. You ever tried to try and control the wind? You can't. You can try and blow against it, but it's still going to be blown against you. And no matter how hard you blow it, it'll always be a stronger gale. You can't control the wind. We were camping this week and we stuck up some windbreakers. And we came back one day. We'd been out on a trip, and we came out one day and they had been blown over. It couldn't control the wind. And there was a mighty gushing wind. Oh, praise God that no man can control him. And we try, don't we? We try and box him in and we try and say, God, if you did this, if you did that, then things would be a lot better. God, if you just did this in our meetings, if you just did that in my life, if you just did that in that person's life, if you just did this in our nation, and then things would be so much more different. And then we try and put strategies and things into place to try and control the Holy Spirit. Do you know what will happen the moment we start to control the Spirit? We'll grieve the Holy Spirit, and he'll just say, okay, you want to do it that way? You get on and do it. And my theory, my thoughts are, and as we look back over the churches, we see it in the Salvation Army, we can see it maybe in our own movement at times, we can see it in the Methodist movement, we can see where the Spirit of God has taken hold of people who are hungering for God, and God's Spirit moves mightily and brings revival in the land, churches everywhere, and then we get to the place where we start to control what God does. And God says, okay, you want to do it that way, I'll let you do that. And then sadly, things begin to decline. And then we bring religion in where there was power. And may we never be a people of religion and conformity in terms of tradition, that we just hold everything in our hands, but we let go of things. Say, God, it could look messy this morning. We don't know what's going to happen, but God, Holy Spirit, you've got to move. You can't control the wind. Let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in your life. Let him blow where he wants to blow in your life. Let him cause the storms that he wants to happen in your life to bring you to the place where he wants to bring you in your life. Let him set the sails in your life to begin to take you maybe to places you'd never go before. Let him blow over your life. When these people came together in one accord, they came together ready for God to do whatever he wanted to do in their life, in a place of surrender. The Holy Spirit will begin to move in your life when you come to that place of surrender. We're going to look at that in a moment. It says the Holy Spirit began to come, and there was tongues of fire began to sit on each of them, and they began to speak in an unknown tongue, in an unknown language. And people around them, as they began to go out and they began to speak this word and began to declare this word, people everywhere began to hear in their own language as they were speaking in tongues. In fact, so many of them started thinking they were drunk. They thought that they just, you know, they've gone loopy. You know, have you wondered, you know, as a Pentecostal church, and sometimes we hear, well, we worry about what people are going to think if we start speaking in tongues in our services. We worry what people are going to think if we start praising God, lifting our hands and jumping up and down and getting excited about Jesus. We don't really worry about it when we go to the football games. Ooh. Get excited about things that we watch on the telly. But we worry about what people think. Get excited about the things of God. They looked drunk. They began to, it says verse 13, but others were mocking and saying they were full of sweet wine. We see in this passage here, we see something begin to happen. I believe it's a lesson for us all and a lesson for me to remain humble before God. So people began to hear in their own language. They began to receive what God was doing. But then there were people who were mocking and laughing and joking about what was happening. Who were the people that received? The ones who were open to hear. It says the ones that were mocking and laughing and joking, they couldn't hear in their own language. They just heard babbling going on. They just heard these funny noises taking place. They couldn't hear what the Spirit of God was saying. They missed out. When we come with the wrong spirit in our hearts, we will miss out. When we come ready to mock and to laugh and to ridicule the things of the Spirit, who's the one that misses out? We miss out. I want to say, let's be open to what the Spirit is doing. Let's be open to the wind of the Spirit, to the mighty gushing wind of the Spirit in our lives. Let's be open to the moving of the Spirit of Pentecost in our lives, the Spirit of Jesus. Because only He will bring that transformation in our town, in our lives, in where we work, in our families. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. You know, I read about, we looked at last week about the Philip when he went to Samaria. And he came to that town and people were getting baptized and saved and turning from their ways. And then we saw Simon who came, Simon known as the sorcerer, and he too got baptized. And then Peter and John came along and they started laying their hands on people and they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what I'm talking about today. And Simon saw that. And he looked at them and he said, how much for this gift? Give me to this gift that I may lay hands on people and I will give them the power and I'll have the power to lay hands on them too. And Peter's response was, may your money perish with you. Repent now, perhaps God will forgive you of your sins. He spoke a very harsh word over his life. Why? He came with the wrong motive. And if we come, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We come with a motive in our heart that says, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because of what I look like, because it makes me look good. It makes me look like I have power. I'm God's man of the hour. If I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because actually it could cause fame and people could look upon my name and I could have my big name on those lists because of what God is moving in my life, then it's the wrong motive. Is it for some money? It's the wrong motive. You know, it must be, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's come into the world to glorify Jesus. That's the motive. They met together to be witnesses for Jesus. To receive power, to be witness, power to live this Christian life. And it is difficult at times. I'm sure we could all sit and tell our stories and challenges that we go through. But when the Holy Spirit's working in your life, somehow He has a way of just changing things, making things easier. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. When the Holy Spirit is working in our life, He begins to highlight things. He reveals scripture. He gives you the strength when you're feeling weak. He empowers you in those times. As I said, when you don't know what to say and when that time is to speak up, it gives you that word to say. You think of Peter, and we read about him. He denied Jesus. He witnessed for God, and he said, I would never deny you, Jesus. I would die for you. And yet, afterwards, We see Pentecost, he's a man full of the Holy Spirit, full of the boldness of God, proclaiming the name of Jesus everywhere he goes, even under persecution, under suffering, when everyone else is trying to shut him up. He says, we can't help but speak of God. They got up and began to rejoice in God. Why? What was the difference? It was the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Your life begins to change and you do things you couldn't do before when you're moving under the unction of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is a cleansing work in your life. Also, I'm going to have to bring us to a close, but when the Holy Spirit comes, it's a cleansing fire. You know, we say, but God, a burning cleansing fire, send the fire today. And it is a cleansing fire. The Holy Spirit, he is a cleansing fire upon our life. When we see the Holy Spirit beginning to pour out upon them, and then we see the Holy Spirit is beginning to move in these people's hearts, and it says, read just a little bit later down, Acts chapter 2. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent each of you and be baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit and receive forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. They were pierced to the heart. They weren't sugar-coated to the heart. You notice that? They were pierced to the heart. They were grieved to the heart. You know, when Azusa Street revival took place in 1905 in Azusa Street, an African-American with one eye by the name of William J. Seymour went and he believed and began to preach and declare the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And when he started speaking, he wasn't speaking in tongues himself, but he believed the scriptures. And he began to declare this. And then people began to get filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in this unknown tongue. And began to just speak in it. And their lives began to change. But one account of people that would come to these meetings said that well-dressed preachers came to investigate. Soon the high looks are replaced with wonder. Their conviction comes. And very often you will find them in a short time wallowing on the dirty floor, asking God to forgive them and make them as little children. You see, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, there's a cleansing fire, and I was sharing this the other week, there's that conviction of the Spirit of God. It comes to cleanse us and to get us right with God and to set us right before God. There's a time of wallowing and crying out to him. There's a time of where we recognize we need you, God. We can't go through this life without you. A time of repentance, of turning to God. And then there's a cleansing that takes place. And there's an emptying that takes place in our lives. And then when that place of emptiness, there comes a place where the Holy Spirit says, now I can begin to move in your life. Simon was not empty when he came. He was still full of greed in his life, still full of desires for pride and for fame. He hadn't been emptied. He needed to repent. There needs to come a time of repentance, of seeking God. When the Spirit of God first moves in our life, don't be frightened when God begins to do that convicting work. God, do it again and again in my life, I pray. Do it in our midst. Do it in this town. You know, in the Aberdeen revival, it says that people would be out in the mountaintop and they'd be walking the fields, and the Spirit of God was moving so powerfully in the Scottish Hebrides that people would just drop down on their knees. Nobody preached to them. They just dropped down the knees and crying out to God in repentance, calling out to God to save them. As the Spirit of God began to move. There's another sudden moment, if you like. I've heard of people that they've been just in their kitchen washing up, and then all of a sudden they've been listening to the Word of God on the radio or something, and they've just dropped on their knees and cried out to God. I remember one time I was preaching in there, when I was in St. Helens, I was preaching in the church there, and I haven't even got to the end of the message. And halfway through the message, I was just encouraging people that need to be saved. And a man I'd probably seen throughout the week once, it just walked to the front of the meeting while I was preaching. He said, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. Pray for me. I hadn't even got to the altar call yet. It's the Spirit of God working. It's nothing about me. It's the Spirit of God working. Praise God, let him work through me. But empty vessels, willing vessels, surrendered vessels with the right spirit, with the right heart, with the right desire to glorify God, with the right recognition that we can do nothing without him. We come to this day of Pentecost. It said that 3,000 were added to that church that day. 3,000. Had they gone out in their own strength, one or two may have responded. But 3,000. It said that then they continued. They didn't stop there, but they continued. Chapter 2. Close with this bit. Verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. See what they were devoting themselves? They were devoted to it. They weren't half-hearted, but they were devoted to the teaching, to the fellowship, to meeting together, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. It speaks of unity. It speaks of dependence upon God. It speaks of dependence upon meeting together and worshiping God with one another. Dependence upon listening to the Word of God and coming before the Word of God and understanding what God is teaching in these days. They were devoted to that. Let our devotion be to Him. And it said they kept feeling a sense of awe in their lives. Have we lost a sense of awe of God? Have we lost a sense of the amazement, the greatness, the glory, the holiness, the wonder of God? The Holy Spirit is the one who brings it. Let Him go wherever He wants in our lives. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, can I ask us to stand together? Let's bring ourselves to a place of surrender. That's your heart today, and you say, God, I've tried so hard to be a Christian, to be a good, righteous Christian. But God, today I realize that, but I can't do it without your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray today, you say in your word, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. These things I say to you concerning the Holy Spirit. You said that in Luke chapter 11. Father, you said those words to us. So Father, we're asking today in a recognition that we're empty, we're nothing without you. We surrender our lives to you as a church. Lord, may we be a Pentecostal people. Not just by name, but by nature. Lord, we cannot do things in our own strength. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking today, would you blow over us today? Would you bring conviction where conviction's necessary? But Lord, would you bring an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on all flesh, not just on us, but on our children, on our sons and daughters, wherever they may be, wherever they may be doing, if they're at home, in their beds, unwell, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill them. Then if they're somewhere on holiday, fill them, Lord. If they're out in the back in the children's meetings, youth meetings, fill them, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill us anew. Fill us afresh. Fill us, baptize us. We don't want to do things our way any longer. Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us. Some of you used to speak in tongues and you have stopped. And I want to encourage you, begin to speak in tongues. Begin to pray out to the Lord. Begin to step out in the Lord. Don't come complacent in your walk with God. But let God immerse you again. Cool, that's a new season of your life. Cool, it's a new wind of your life that wants to come into your life. There's been a stormy wind, but now there wants to be a Holy Ghost wind over your life. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Blow over us. Set our tongues of fire for you. Set a joy in our midst, in our dancing. Oh, Lord, korabasi andarabasi andarabaki andara. Oh, lamaki andamasi andamasi andarabaki andara. Praise you, Lord. Let's just close with this worship, God, and let the Holy Spirit fill you. Just begin to cry out, God, fill me from your heart. Fill me for my family. Fill me for this town. Fill me for your glory. Fill me to be a witness. Fill me, Lord. Forgive me for my selfish ways. Forgive me, Lord, for trying to do things in my own strength. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Fill me. Thank you. I see you. Maybe one or two of you, maybe more, you're saying, and you're feeling that need, that you need someone to lay hands on you. And you're feeling that word upon your life, then I want to encourage you and give you the opportunity to respond. And some of you, you're really struggling in your work, and you're struggling in your family and relationships, and struggling in your witness. I believe the Lord wants to give you that assurance today. And yeah, I want to give you the opportunity just to respond, and you may want to do that just by